hate that. It's got please wait. Ooh. Is it working? Welcome to Trendy Talk. Roll the intro. Hey everybody, how you doing? I'm HexDSL. This is my good friend Wingopotamus Mon Wing Wing. Who is his name now?
That is true.
Whoa. I've got so many monitors that I don't understand. Let's mute that one. Wing, could you talk still?
It's been forever that Hex has had multiple monitors that he's able to use.
The problem is they're all audio sources for reasons I don't quite understand. So I need to confirm that we can hear you on the stream. Is that something you're able to do while I make coffee? Also, hello,
I will head on over.
You need to keep talking to hear you though, because the concern would be.
Well, there's lag.
Whoa, there's lag. Also, I just realised you was really loud, so I'll fix that now. Should be fine.
Yep. I can hear myself.
Okay, you can hear yourself. That's good. Because apparently
just created a temporary feedback loop on my stream there.
Wop 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 wop. Yeah. On my side, you see, I've got two audio sources that both appear to be you. There you go.
Let's have a look, see.
Oh, I've actually posted two screenshots to Wing today. That's okay. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Trendy Talk. I'm making coffee.
What is going on there? Creating a new like what is that live broadcast?
I don't know.
I've never seen that before in my life.
Yeah, this is one of those times when OBS is just doing stuff I don't understand. So who knows?
Oh, so you've got your laptop and your monitor are popping up as two different sources.
But they're both audio. For some reason, the audio source is linked to the screen. So I don't know how that works. So yeah, I've just been like, whatever. I've just turned one off. It's fine.
Well, I could hear myself, so I think it's all good.
So, which is a bit confusing.
Hi, Emma.
Hi, Emma. Can you hear Wing okay? Because I'm concerned, Emma. Are you concerned?
I mean, I checked it. It's fine.
No, is it still fine? What if it breaks midway? And I don't know though. Did you think of that?
I like how Hex never trusts me with anything.
That's not true. I trust you with everything. Don't you have all my stream? Don't you have all my stream keys and access to all my novels, source documents? And access to my server's API key and my address.
I have all those things except your stream
except your
key.
Respect.
I had your stream key once that time when you couldn't record and then I never saved it.
Oh, I mean, I assumed you kept it. To be honest, I just assumed.
Nah. Yes. Singleton. Oh, sorry.
Andrew Singleton.
You only said, hey Hex, so you know, fuck me. I guess.
Hey Hex, fuck you, Wing. Hey Hex, and that fuck is here as well.
Just to double check, I've just opened my password manager to see if I did save it there. And number one, I did not save it there. However, I've also just noticed that I, for some reason, have an account saved in here that's just a question mark. So I don't know what the fuck that is. What was I thinking?
Like, question everything, Wing. Where's that thing? There it is. A bit more stir in the coffee and put the plunger in. Ooh. Oh, also, I need to show the stream my exciting thing. Boom!
You don't have
rear camera! Rear camera! All the cameras. I'll just leave that on for a little bit while I make coffee.
I love how you're saying that. But that's only changing for you.
Oh, you didn't. Oh my! I can't do it in OBS. Oh my God! Do I have to
do it
live?
No,
I mean, it's changing for everyone else as well. My stream can see it. It's just that you're also streaming.
No, that's okay. But it's just funny from my point of view seeing you rear camera, but I could see your face.
Yeah. No, both cameras are on my stream at the same time.
That's not what I was. That's not what I was expecting at all. to be honest.
Just gonna hold on. I'll send Wing a screenshot of what I'm seeing. There you go. There's the rear camera, Wing.
Oh my god.
You're missing out on a lot of text.
I've seen your rear camera.
I've seen your rear camera, son. And it is not nice.
Great.
Where is that? I'm doing it wrong. Okay, coffee's done. Rear camera is going. Coffee cam is ending. There you go. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Trendy Talk. Trendy Talk is a show where Wing and I talk about things we find interesting this week. Sometimes you may find it boring. That's okay. Fuck off. Is that right? Is that right?
That about covers it.
I'm just trying to get my light has moved.
I've already tagged this. I'm going to hide those.
I've already tagged it. Hello, the production quality did go up, right? Because I'm streaming from me. Yeah, can I hold it up? I'm streaming from my MacBook, right? Which is pretty good, because it can handle multiple cameras.
It
doesn't overheat.
There we go.
Actually, let's see how hot it is right now while streaming. Right, it is no hotter than 63 degrees. I'm just gonna I'm just gonna. I've just pasted it to you so that I can take a screenshot of it. There you go. There you go. That's my. That is where.
I guess. You have already revealed what you're at here for people who have been keeping up with your channel.
Oh yeah. I mean, people already.
But for those who haven't.
Yeah. Those that hasn't, Hex might have bought a MacBook.
What else?
Oh, the shame's coming out now, is it? Might have bought an iPad.
What's that on top of the iPad, Hex?
It's a pen. It's a Apple.
What's that attached to the iPad, Hex?
It's a case with a keyboard.
It's an Apple official case.
Okay, so first of all, I need to back up a little bit because you've got your own shame to talk about. So don't start with me.
No, I don't.
You do have your own shame. We'll talk about your shame next. So as people know, I've been having problems with my XPS for a while, right? My XPS is not dead. It's still here. Look, here it is. I didn't throw it out of a window yet. My XPS is a piece of shit. It's been a nightmare. It's been the bane of my existence by being an underpowered slice of dog turd for a year, and I finally cracked and I ordered the MacBook. But where I work, we get like Apple staff discount, so I saved a cool 6% on my Apple, which works out to be the same price as an iPad. So in my brain, the iPad was free. So I got the Mac and the iPad arrive, and then I traded in some Switch games I didn't want at CEX, and I had enough money.
Join the Switch ditch.
I had enough money to buy the overpriced iPad case, which is usually too much money. And it was still too much money at CEX, but I got free CEX money. So I just thought, fuck it. So I did sort of go all in by accident, sort of. But
I like how Hex ordered that keyboard. And he told us he ordered that keyboard.
Mm-hmm.
And then after he had the keyboard for about 2 days, he goes, okay, I also got a pen.
Yeah, I also want an Apple Pencil. I was a little bit ashamed because I'm not usually spendy, and every time I am spendy, I feel genuinely like ashamed of being spendy.
Actually, you know what? It hadn't occurred to me before, but why does every other digital drawing thing call it a pen, but Apple had to call it a pencil?
Because they're dicks. That's the answer, right? They're dicks.
Fair.
They're dicks. I mean, that's just your answer. Apple are dicks. Anyway, I didn't show you. So you know about all the Apple stuff I've bought, right? But what I didn't send to you, I'm gonna send it to Wing now. I'm not sending it to the rest of you. You didn't see my boxes of shame. There you go. There's my boxes of shame, Wing.
That is many plain white boxes with Apple logos.
Let me share it with the group. That's a bit far in. All I did was buy the iPad and the Mac Air. The pencil and the case and stuff are just are just things that, you know, I've ended up like, you know, through discount stuff. But yeah, so I hated my XPS so much I turned my back on PCs, which I think is quite interesting. But the
Macs
weird
are still PCs?
No, they're not. No, they're not. They're not PCs. They're glorified iPads. It's a mobile OS pretended to be a grown-up OS. It's not even a real OS. Like, genuinely, it's nonsense. It's like, but yeah, like what I would say. Go on. No, go on.
I was
going to
say, how long do you usually keep boxes for?
Oh, I just keep them forever because, like, when you want to, if you decide you don't want them, you want to trade it in. The best way to ship it is in a box it came in. So I usually don't put them on the shelf. They're only on the shelf because I haven't put them away. I've got like a little drawer under my bed, and I just put all the boxes in the drawer under my bed. Yeah, most boxes you can flat pack, but you can't flat pack these fuckers because they're like solid like wood or some shit. It's ridiculous.
So I normally keep boxes for like a month or two to make sure the thing isn't broke.
I always, if you want to use a warranty to get something fixed, usually they recommend sending it back in the box. And it's not like box, like it's not like keep a box for everything, but like if something's in warranty, I tend to keep the box, just because you know. But yeah. There's actually another box. I didn't put my phone box up there. I might put my phone box up there and get an ultimate Apple wanker screenshot.
You've had the phone for a while.
I've had the phone for a while. Yeah, I've had the phone for like what, 7 months now. But
is it that long?
Yeah, I think
so. Not that long, is it?
Yeah.
Fuck me.
I bought it in January, didn't I? Didn't I buy it in January? Yeah, it's going to be like 10 months. Something. I don't know. Fucking where it arrived.
I was literally just pointing out to Hex how his YouTube channel still says he uses a Pixel.
No, I've got to fix that. Pixel Heresy says, toys are fun, no real shame. Macs tend to last well and are fairly decent for development. I have eternal love for Linux myself, but Macs are decent. And then Pixel Heresy also said, not a real OS. Darwin is basically a weird BSD. Yeah. Yeah, you're on an 8 year old plus Mac.
BSD,
I mean, for context for people that aren't. I don't know Pixel Harris's name. I'm not sure if you've been around before. I've just forgotten your name.
Has he?
Okay, I'll fuck you then. Retype customer. No niceties. Move on. Now, I'm for people that don't realize. I'm very frugal with I buy a couple of games. Like every month, I might buy a game or I might buy something. But it's rare that I spend over £50 on an individual purchase. So when I'm at checkout for like almost £2,000, I was like crying inside, and it proper upset me. So like I feel like I've spent a lot of money, but like, you know, by most people's standards, I probably haven't. But I'm so fucking frugal. So let's face it, tight. Where it feels Keith. Weird. Keith!
Hi, Keith.
Yeah. Pixel Keith.
No, I mean, same, generally speaking.
But before we get onto your shame,
No. We've slots for hexes.
Oh, we got lots of time for hexes. So I've only had it a week now. I've made like one video because I wanted to kind of test the setup. Couple of thoughts I have. So coming from my XPS 13, which was an i7-1250U processor with 32 gig of RAM, going to an M2 with 16 gig of RAM, it is like a quantum leap. It's like it's from the fucking future. It's a bit mad how much the performance difference is. And it does it all without a fan. Which is ludicrous, and I'm just putting my hand.
I didn't know that until
it's mad.
2 days into you saying it, and I was
there's no fan. It's just literally insane having no fan. It just feels supernatural.
And I will say everyone else is happy with Hex's Mac because since he got it, he hasn't dropped out of a call once.
Like I was dropping out of calls all the time. Sometimes I couldn't hear people. My headphones would drop. They're just like Bluetooth headphones. I don't know why they would drop. There was a lot of problems.
X would talk to himself for a half an hour and think we were ignoring him.
I just assumed I was being a boring twat. But yeah, I'm not going to be like I love my Mac or anything like that. But yeah, I certainly there are caveats which I'll talk about shortly. There are certainly caveats, but overall, I'm enjoying my Mac time. I'm enjoying the reliable hardware. I like the operating system despite the caveats. Caveats list is go on. Before I go my caveat, let's go.
Hex has streamed quite a bit of his setup to me, and I will say that the Mac desktop is not as shit it's been like well over a decade since I looked at a Mac. It's Yeah, no, it's not awful. Besides for some weird defaults, but whatever.
Yeah, okay, so first of all, there's no window snapping, which, I mean, anyone that uses a Mac, this is not news to.
Weird non-defaults.
Yeah, like, well, I mean, the thing is, that I can actually show you, because I'm actually sharing my entire screen for the benefit of this stream, right? Rather than just capturing the web browser, right? You didn't know that was happening, did you? So when I move my mouse to the green bar, the green circle, right, it says tile window left or tile window right. When I do that, it gives you a full screen application that splits into two full screen applications. But if I hold that option, it goes just move it to the left, like it snapped it. It's, but like, that should be the default. Why the fuck is, do I have to hold down? That should just be the default. And also, the amount of time it takes for that to pop up is ludicrous. Like, it's genuinely like too long. It just takes too long for that to pop up. I hate it. It's just bizarre. Yeah, very, very bizarre. I've just accidentally closed the Trendy Talk.
You have also, people watching that, probably noticed that your dock isn't on the bottom.
Oh, yeah, I moved my dock to the left-hand side of the top monitor because the bottom dock is really stupid, because if you've got an application filling most of the screen, you've got these two little edges each side. So your choices then is to put so many applications on that it just fills the screen, or just accept there's gaps. And if you put an auto hide, that's fine. But then when you put your mouse to the bottom and you've got another screen underneath, you sort of have to like hover one pick. It just was weird. So I just put it on the left-hand side of the screen, just, and it's on auto hide. So I just got really used to that now. But yeah, like I did install a thing called Magnet, which just re-enables desktop snapping, which is basically what it should have been for the start, to be honest. I mean, it just feels like it should have been what it was doing right from the beginning. But yeah, so I did that. That was one of the bar was weird. The snapping was weird. The fact there's no clipboard manager by default is kind of retro, because it's got a universal clipboard, right? So I can copy something and then go to my iPad and paste it, or go to my phone and paste it. So they've got advanced clipboarding going on, like the cloud clipboarding, but no history control, which is just so weird. So yeah, Windows has. If you do Windows key and V, you've got universal. You've got clipboard manager. But then if you've got another Windows device, it'll ask you on the new device. It'll tell you that it's detected your user somewhere else, and would you like to activate a universal clipboard? I think they call it iCloud clipboard or something on Windows, but it's fine.
I don't think they call it iCloud clipboard on Windows.
No, they call it OneDrive clipboard. Sorry, there you go. I'm too much Mac shit lately. It's OneDrive clipboard, I think it is. But yeah. Yeah, I also like the divvy for tiling for window tiling. Yeah, like the button for window tiling is actually not bad. But the fact that I can't just slam something to the side just seems mad. But yeah. The things it's got. Okay, so one of the things I'm currently having as well is everybody uses this application called Alfred, which brings a search bar. I've just realized I've not got set to multi-monitor. I've not got it set to come on the same monitor as the... as the cursor, which I'm sure is something I can fix in the options. But like, I can't quite work out if Alfred is worth using over Spotlight, but it seems like it's just a bit quicker. But they also want me to pay £35 to unlock all the features, which is a bit steep for something that basically does what the other one already does. So that's a bit weird. I'm not sure how I feel about that. So I've installed. So I have to install a clipboard manager, a snapping tool. I've got Alfred on at the minute, and I've also had to put a clipboard manager on because the way Mac takes screenshots is just maddening. So I've ended up having to like spend like probably about £20 extra cash just to get stuff in place, which is a bit weird.
Screenshot thing was funny. Hex was telling me about that last night, and then another friend of ours joined who got a Mac for work. And the exact same problem.
The screenshots are like, they're real mental, the way the screenshots happen. It's just bizarre. It's just totally bizarre.
If only there was, you know, a dedicated key that someone invented 40 years ago for print screening, you know?
Yep. Okay, so that should work. There you go. Okay, so there you go. I fixed Alfred's default screen. Yeah, it's because you go command the shift 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5, depending what kind of clip of screenshot you want. I'm not going to remember that. So I've installed a program called Shotter, and I just like, I've got it so on my mouse I can push two buttons and just screenshot like that, and it pops up the little preview window, which I can then choose to edit the image, or I can just ignore it and just close it down, or I can press the print screen, which is Command Shift 2, and it just takes a full screenshot of the desktop and just brings me that, which is nice. But yeah, a bit weird. Yeah.
Strange. I've used Flameshot forever.
Yeah.
I just super P to bring up the selection box and super shift P to just screenshot the full one.
Yeah, I mean, which is more reasonable than the 1 through 5 system. I would say the reason I went with Shotter wasn't because I think Shotter's the best one. It was literally a case of I saw a few forums, people talking about it, and there was like a couple of names mentioned as all being fine, and this one happened to be on Black Friday sale for like a fiver, so I was like, I'll just, that one will be fine, and it turns out I quite like it, so that's fine. And then the clipboard manager I use, which is called, I've got to look it up now, which is called, what is it even called? I don't know what it's called. The clipboard manager is called Mackie. Oh, there we
Mackie.
Go.
Mackie, yeah.
Mackie, there you go. This is Mackie. I thought it was like a tenner, then I realised you can just download it for free off their website, which was cool, I guess. So I'll probably give them a tip, actually.
It's open source. Actually, this is something I was wondering about on Max. The open source thing does not seem to be very active on Mac. And, yeah.
Yeah, it's weird because...
Based on what it looks like to actually run programs outside the App Store, I can understand why.
Yeah, so when
you need to go through about 6 dialogues for some reason.
You download something, and if Mac's like, I don't know what the fuck that is, it just won't run it because of the source, and it's like, what? So then you have to go into settings, run the application, then go to the settings tab and authorize the application. But if you do anything between trying to run it and go into settings, it's just not there, which is just a bit bizarre. I assume there's a global toggle for that.
It should just be like Windows, where it just pops up once with, yes, I want to run this.
Yeah. You know? To be honest, it doesn't happen with, in all fairness, whatever magic they're using to track applications and stuff, right? It only does it on stuff that is a bit sketchy, to be fair. Like, you sent me a random executable. It was like, I'm not running that fucking thing.
I did not send you a random executable.
You sent me a random executable. You did. You literally did.
I sent you my own thing that I built and compiled myself.
Random executable. Yeah, from the point of view of macOS, it's like, what the fuck is this? It's not going to go, oh, Wing sent it. That's fine.
That's every open source project ever.
But yeah, that's what I'm saying. But like, some open source projects, like Mackie, just worked when I downloaded it because it's on their database.
Is there Apple? I mean, presumably because that's also in the App Store, that would
maybe
be why.
I don't know, but like, a lot of open source stuff seems to be like, it's free on their website or it's in the App Store and you can pay us or get it for free, which I think is a good dynamic. Like Mackie, when I've got some spare scratch, I'll probably buy Mackie just on the grounds that I want to, you know, support the fact that they're just free. I think that's a good thing, so I'm more happy to give it them. But yeah, and also the iPad as well, guys. When I first bought the iPad, I was like, I'm not going to use this. I love my iPad. It's great. I've been doing some sketches. I've been doing some handwritten notes. I've got a little keyboard to do some. It's great. I really like it. I'm basically, unlike when I bought my XPS, where I was instantly saddened by my purchase and trying to manage it, I'm just thrilled with my purchase with the Mac stuff, which feels weird. And
it's £100 a year to be a Mac developer.
That's not unreasonable if you get something for that money.
I mean, no other platform charges you to develop for it.
Not true. Android does.
Does it?
Yeah.
Okay.
You can download it, but if you want to make something in the store.
What does Android have?
I don't know.
Side loading.
Well, yeah. Yeah, that's true. But anyway, but that's the thing. All the things, sort of the caveats of running a Mac, I'm like, you know that when you buy a Mac. Like, you know, you kind of know that.
I mean, no.
You know,
I'm not trying to come off like I'm shitting on you. I'm quite impressed with the Mac, to be honest.
Yeah, the performance has been great.
I'm more impressed with the, the way it works with everything else.
Oh, the
fact that you can pop out your iPad and make it a second screen, or that you could use your phone as a webcam.
The Mac ecosystem, which has been fabled, I didn't really... Like, I knew intellectually what that was, but the sheer magical joy of how it actually works. Like, today, I had to wait for my daughter for 20 minutes while she came out of work, right? So I've got my iPad with me, and my phone is just, like, just on the passenger seat. And I open my iPad, and my iPad goes, "Ah, there's no internet. Should I put your phone's hotspot on?" I didn't set that up, and I was like, yep.
No, that's good.
I didn't set that up. And if I've got my iPad on my desk, just open, and I move my mouse to the left of the screen, right, my mouse will just pop over to the iPad. Like, of course it does. And I just can click an app on the iPad and pop back. But that's not when I'm sharing the screen. That's just when I'm using my iPad as normal. I can just move my mouse over to my iPad and just click on stuff. And then it's mad. Or then I can click on a button in the top here, in the top of my screen, and I can activate window. I can activate screen, and I can just use my iPad like a second screen, which is just weird.
That second screen thing is just an app.
Oh, it's just an app.
Swipe it away.
Yeah, you can swipe it away. It's mad, yeah.
And then bring it back, which is pretty cool.
It is, and it's the sensiblest way of doing that, which I really like. I've got no qualms. It is all overpriced, though. It's really expensive, but the Unity I'm getting for that expense is kind of, I'm not going to say worth it, because that's the wrong word, but like, it's certainly impressive.
I mean, also the fact that, you know, you have a working computer now.
I have a working computer. But like, little things, like right now, I've got Word open, right? And I full screened Word, so it's on its own workspace. Because when you full screen something, it gets its own workspace. So I've just got Word open on its own workspace, and I can essentially never close Word. just leave Word in that workspace forever, which really works for me.
Does it do the same weird thing that the phone does, that it never actually wants you to close shut?
Oh, yeah, if I close... Okay, so you can't see the dock right now, because obviously you can't see the dock, right? Because I'm on the monitor. But when I close an application, Mac is not window-oriented, it's program-oriented, right? So when I close... So if I was to click the X button right now and close Safari would still have a little dot telling me it's running in my dock. And when I click it, it would bring me a fresh Safari window. Because Safari can generate multiple windows, closing a window doesn't imply I've exited the program. However, if there's an application that's not capable of generating secondary windows, it takes the hint when I close the window that is there, like the settings menu, just goes when I close because,
so
like,
it,
you know.
Close,
so, yeah,
like Discord.
It's got, yeah, so if I was it would close Discord, Discord is only has one window. But that said, it's really useful, because sometimes you will close Word because I'm going to a different document. So I don't have to think about closing Word. I just close the window, which is actually really good. Now, just to close something, I can either use Command W or just right click on it in the dock and just close it. Or also, if I hold an option when I right click on it, I can force close it if something's crashed, which is pretty elegant. More than something Windows doesn't have, and it really should. But it took a bit of getting used to sort of remember to go and close an application. But overall, it's pretty good. Someone on a forum was talking about those applications. So if an application has been idle for more than an hour, it just quietly closes it. There's a few applications to sort of manage that for you, but I haven't come to the point yet where I felt like that's necessary. I'm quite happy to just close the odd application as I use it. So yeah, which is pretty good. Because like, VLC is a weird one, because VLC doesn't close either, and you think it would
actually
only generate one window.
That was an odd one. When you tried to play a video, Mac doesn't have MKV support.
Doesn't have MKV support. So weird, right? So I just installed VLC and it was fine. That was a bit weird. But it's nice when you close a video in VLC. It just keeps your history until you actually manually close it, so you can just go back to the previous video you was on, which is actually pretty fun, pretty good. I'm really happy with it, and I've got, at this time, other than the odd things I've had to get used to and or like make work how I want, there's no deal breakers on Mac. Oh, there was one deal breaker on Mac, which I did fix. When I got my MacBook, I opened it up and the screen was so glossy that if I thought about it too hard, I would smudge it, right? Like, you could smudge it by looking at it. That's how glossy it was, right? So I got a matte screen protector and just gently laid it on the screen. And after, like, many, many failed attempts at getting rid of one grain of dust under it, I now have a lovely matte screen on my MacBook, which
And your iPad.
Yeah, and my iPad. My iPad, to be fair, is a paper-like screen as well, so it's a rough textured screen, which is quite nice. And my I've also got a matte screen on my phone, which is nice as well.
Oh, you've gone all out.
I just ordered it like a few days because it was like £6 just like for a matte screen protector for my phone. I have decided I just don't like glossy screens. I just don't like them.
Why don't you just get a piece of tracing paper and turn your brightness up real big?
Yeah.
Cheap matte screen.
I mean, the thing is though, the glossy, I don't know why manufacturers think we like glossy screens, because Apple think about their products quite well. Like, one of their things is presentation, right? So obviously they've thought about whether, they've had the discussion at some point whether to use matte screen or not, and they've landed on glossy. And I think the perception is that glossy is somehow more premium, but in reality, a matte screen is better because it's got less glare on it. And it's less likely to show up fingerprints. It's just better, in my opinion.
I've never heard anyone in my life say, that's a glossy screen, I like that.
Yeah, no, me neither. I've never heard it. But there's
this idea.
It's the same idea.
With the fucking trackball. Why is it glossy?
Yeah, no, my trackball's so glossy. It's like, I've lost the war with fingerprints, my trackball. I just accepted that my trackball's just looks like shit. About once a day, I'll just wipe it down and just carry on as if it's fine. It's horrible.
So I'm just looking at the Mac website. How is the M2 Mac Air slightly lighter than the M1 Mac Air?
I have no idea what they're doing.
I mean, it's like 50 grams, but still.
If I had to guess, I'd say Unholy Magic. It's probably just more modern processor.
It's slightly bigger. It's slightly bigger.
Oh, the M1 Mac is a wedge-shaped design. The M2 Mac is a flat design, so it's entirely possible.
The M2 is bigger than the M1.
Yeah, but the M1's got that wedge shape, so it's got more metal on the back than the front, so that probably adds to the weight. The M1's it's a slight wedge. That must be more metal, I would think.
Okay.
Apparently the M1's got much better cooling than the M2, though.
Really?
Yeah, which I don't think matters, because what am I at right now? Again, I've been streaming for... We've been streaming for what, half hour now, right? And I'm on, and I'm still, my hottest core is 66 is my hottest core. And considering the TJ Maxx is about 120, I'm not too concerned.
Also, I mean, while I'm talking about size, the friend that joined us last night had a 15 inch Mac. And that was huge.
It did look like a monster.
I was like, who wants a laptop that big? Not a laptop.
Mine's a 13-inch MacBook, but it's a 13.6-inch screen because of the way diagonals work. It is a little bigger than my XPS. And overall, I still think the XPS is a better-looking machine on the outside. I think the XPS is one of the nicest-looking machines I've ever had. But the Mac is certainly... Yeah, everything else is better. If we could get this Mac technology in the case of my XPS, that'd be amazing. Also, no touchscreen as well. My XPS had a lovely touchscreen, which was also glossy, which was annoying. The lack of touchscreen. Not something I care about enough to go, oh no, I can't use a touchscreen. But it was nice to just scroll with your thumb on it, but, you know, whatever. And also, if I was streaming...
I've gotten weirdly used to touchscreen lately.
Yeah, so have I. I wonder what you have, though. I would say though, the XPS, the fan was always going. Basically, anytime I was doing anything other than just being in Word or just being a web browser, the fan would be going. Having a system with no fan just feels like relaxing. Like I've been oppressed by fans for months, and all of a sudden I'm free of fans, and it just feels good. So just want to put that out there. Don't underestimate the annoyance.
You heard
of
it here. HexDSL has no fans.
I have no fans. No, only no fans. Anyway, that's my Mac update. You're going to get some sort of UI thoughts videos. And best of all, I've got profiles set up inside Safari. So no longer will I accidentally dox myself if I get a YouTube link. So that's good.
Or an Amazon link, more like.
A YouTube. There's lots of things that dox me. Yeah, Amazon was the main one, wasn't it?
I mean, that's true. I mean, you could have also just installed Firefox.
Yeah, no one's doing that. No one uses Firefox. It's not a web browser. It's not a web browser. It's a communist manifesto with an interface. They should put that on their advertising. More people would use it then. That'd be great. Anyway, we've talked about my shame for the last half an hour. I want to talk about Wing's shame now because I'm interested in Wing's shame. Wing, tell me your shame.
1 second.
Wing's like, fuck you, I'm not telling.
I am. I'm just...
Wing's like, no, not doing it.
Doing a thing. Okay, fine.
Cool. I'm going to get kind of close. Can you tell?
So, I think it's probably well known at this point that I'm not one for portable devices.
No, he's using a phone from 1801.
Yeah, I don't like phones. I've never liked laptops. I've just found myself in a situation where I cannot be at my PC for long extended periods due to obligations, shall we say. Mm-hmm. So probably almost a year ago I started looking at fucking laptops, and I was like, I didn't know what I wanted. I started off thinking I'd get some cheap piece of shit that I could just basically use as a terminal box, and then I was thinking about it more, and also looking at the prices of shit here in Ireland, which is stupid, right?
I can't wait for the moment when you say it.
Even secondhand shit here is ridiculously expensive. But this is semi-related. Many, many years ago, I believe back in 2012, 2013, I did have a tablet. It was the original Google Nexus 7, I believe.
Oh, I had one of them. That was a good tablet.
No, I quite liked it, but yeah, I always thought, damn, this would be cool if it had a real operating system on it. It's kind of been in the back of my mind for years, and I was like, the tablet form factor is nice, genuinely.
So is the iPad form factor, which is not a tablet.
That's a tablet.
Yes, it is.
I don't care. It's a tablet. Yeah. So, and then a few months ago, I started looking at some Microsoft Surfaces.
What?
Yeah. And it was Black Friday, and I might have bought a Surface 9.
You might have bought. When you say you might have bought a Surface 9, did you though? Did you also buy a Surface Pencil for it and a Surface Keyboard Folio case?
No, I bought a Surface Pen because I'm a grown up.
Yeah, I've got a fucking crayon. You did, yeah. So you've got the Surface, which is what's the specs of it?
To be fair, fucking quite the sale on the Surface at the still at the moment. If you want one, however, actually. I've linked the English one. I'm just gonna go to Microsoft Surface Pro 9 Ireland, and I'm gonna show you the fucking difference and why we get screwed so much. So there is currently £780 off this.
Oh, you'd link the Air webs, the Mac Air website. I didn't realise.
Yes, I did. Okay. I also covered your name and Apple's. There's only €600 off it, which is significantly less.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost £800, but only €600.
Yeah, that's stitchy. Yeah,
we get screwed so often in technology; it fucking annoys me. But anyway, I did look at the Pro 8, which for some reason they have the 7 on sale, but not the 8, which is weird. But I did go looking for used 8s, and people were selling them for £900. So I was like, I mean, I might as well just get a 9.
So, have you got the i5, 12-535U?
I've got the i5 with 16 gig of RAM, sorry. Yeah. But before I get into that, shall I tell the story of how I bought...
Oh, no, you thing. Should. Yeah, no, that's great. Yeah. Yeah.
After I finally decided I will buy this thing, and I spent a week thinking about it again, after I'd already decided.
He's like, mate, I spent 4 months thinking of a Mac. Go on.
Yeah, I mean, I've been thinking about this laptop purchase-ish for over a year, but whatever. This is what I finally decided on, and then the Black Friday thing, and it was like, yep, fuck it, fine, I'll buy it. And then I got bank error. I was like, hang on, what? I looked at my phone, I was like, right, whatever. I got the little... Whenever I buy basically anything over a tenner, I get a notification. And you
Yep,
go
same.
on the app, and you go, yes, I did do that. And then tried it again, and then I got another error, which was different error, but then got a text from the bank going, yeah, we think this isn't you. I was like, right. So I
Right.
eventually sorted that out, tried it again, nothing. This time the error was, oh, there's a problem on our end from Microsoft. I was like, this is a pain in the fucking arse. So I decided, but my sister is a different bank. I'll transfer the money to her and use her card. Same thing happened.
Right,
So then I gave up.
at that point, you've got to be thinking it's an omen.
I gave up at that point. And then the next day, I was like, right, I'll try it again. Same thing. I said, fuck it, I'm opening the live chat. The error says it's on Microsoft's end. And I do a live chat, which, Jesus fucking Christ, 70 minutes? I
Right,
was on this live
that's
chat.
I've not yeah, they usually cut you off after about an hour, so that's impressive anyway.
Yeah, 70 odd minutes. The help person was very nice. But yeah, after it, she wanted me to do it while she was looking at the account, I was like, right, whatever, blah blah blah, did it, failed. And she's like, that's not right. And
She
she's
was
like,
like,
right,
no shit.
how about I try and order it on your behalf? And I was like, go ahead. And then about 15 minutes of legal crap, you know, we're allowed to do this, yes, whatever. I have to say yes about seven times. She does it and she goes, wow, that failed. I go, right, forget it. I give up. Thanks for your time. Goodbye. She goes, no, hold on. Hold on. Let me try something else. So I wait for another 10 minutes and then I just see an email notification pop up in the corner. It goes, thanks, you've bought a Surface. I was like, I didn't even get an authorization thingy. And she's like, what magic have you pulled? So, yeah, Microsoft, I don't know what dark dealings they do with your bank, but whatever. She pulled money from my account without my, well, with my permission, but you know, without an authorization code.
I mean, this is one of those times when I really hope they had the recording of your consent for that, because you could probably have a legal case if they don't. Yeah, I really hope that was
I
clear
mean,
with the
I
consent.
assumed it did. Those are all transcribed, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I'm fine with it. I did the next day get an email from Microsoft going, oh, there's a Surface in your basket. Did you want to buy that? Because I don't know. She must have just ordered it not via my account like she tried the first time. So that was just still left in my basket. But yeah, whatever. 2 days later, I had a Surface, which, by the way, fastest I've ever gotten anything delivered, ever.
Yeah, because you messaged. Sorry, also on my end, anyone watching just got leaky audio. I've refreshed my chat window in OBS and it's just loaded the YouTube channel, which is a bit confusing for me. So I'll pause that. So sorry about that, guys.
Strange.
Yeah. So yeah, because you messaged me. You was like, there's no fucking way this is coming, right?
Well,
like,
it was coming from Germany.
Yeah. He was like,
and
that's
it hit the Netherlands at some point, and I was like, there's not a chance. And then I did in fact get it on Friday, so last Friday. So I've had it just over a week now.
Just
now,
like my Mac.
I will say, yeah, I will say, if for anyone planning this, I obviously intended to put Linux on this thing. However, I bought it. I bought it within the back of my mind going, if this doesn't go well, I'll just use Windows. Do not buy this with the intention of just running Linux. It does work, but don't do it. Okay?
I like,
so,
it does work, but don't do it.
It does work. It does work. But you know, with caveats. So, I had obviously done much research. There is this little project here called Linux Surface, which the main project, which I've linked to there, is a patched Linux kernel, right?
Right.
And there's a wiki there that goes through everything. It's very easy. You just add this repo. The repo doesn't only add the kernel though; it adds it adds this IPTSD thing, which is for the touch and the pen.
Mm-hmm.
And it also adds a Surface command, which will let you it lets you change the built-in profiles, like the balance, the power, the low power things as well. And if you go to the wiki and you click on supported devices, you can scroll down. There's a table there of all the Surface devices and what features are supported.
Oh, there is?
Some of those ticks have a little one beside them. Those have been merged into the...
Where's this table?
Scroll down.
I'm scrolling down. I've got a list of things. Oh, the feature matrix. Is that what you're looking at?
Yes, that one.
Feature matrix. So we've got a feature matrix.
This one.
Ooh.
Ah. This one.
The feature matrix. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Oh, you're on it already. Okay. Feature matrix. I didn't even see that heading. Right. So anything with the one beside it has been merged into the Linux kernel from 6.2 onwards. So these they are putting up their changes.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a little what you call it. Forgot the word. Legend. All those little numbers. You can scroll down and see what they mean.
So what doesn't work? What works perfectly, and then what doesn't work?
Right. So I installed Debian.
Mm-hmm.
I put on this kernel, which, by the way, I think this is like the first time we've done a fresh Debian install of current Debian stable.
Right.
This is the one that now does. It'll now automatically install non-free firmware, which
you need for a service.
Among people.
Also useful for a service.
Useful, yeah. So when I did that, I just right. Oh, actually, prior to that, if you are planning on doing this, USB the Surface will not boot USB 2.0 drives. So yeah, there you go. but because I tried with an adaptive thing, because it was just the first thing I grabbed.
You've got a Surface 9, but this only goes up to the Surface 8, right? This graph?
No, goes up to the 9, scroll over, horizontal scroll. That's just GitHub. Yeah, it is. SP9.
Okay. Yeah, there was no scroll bar for that. Okay, there you go. I don't know what that happened there, but yeah, there you go. I found it. There you go. Sorry.
Yeah, GitHub's table thing is shit. Yeah, so I only have one USB-C drive, which I couldn't find, so that's why I tried it with that one I could find, which didn't work, and neither did the second one. So yeah, but it is pretty easy after that. You just have to pull the volume down, no up,
right?
One of them, and press the power button. One of them goes to the Windows recovery mode, and one of them goes to the BIOS.
Oh, I forget
which way around.
That's a nice way of doing it, right? Like, use the hardware buttons that's cool. Does the BIOS have an on-screen keyboard, then?
The BIOS has an on-screen keyboard, and the BIOS is even touch-enabled, actually. Mm. So, there you go. Right. Yeah, so... So, basically, obviously, you want to just disable Secure Boot, and... You can swipe on USB and it'll just boot from the USB. That wasn't working for me until I moved the USB to the top of the boot order. I don't know why.
Okay.
So after that, though, you just boot in, you install Linux. If you look at the wiki, you can actually, because they do actually have an option to allow it under a secure boot, you can create your own key and you can set the secure boot to allow third party. So you can use secure boot on Linux.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, so if you follow the guide for that, you can do that. But yeah, I'm impressed at how not locked down it is, to be honest. Now, I will say, I will give this caveat for Linux.
This is a dogiat, not a caveat.
No. I will give this caveat for this whole section of just my experience. I should have booted up Windows first and done the BIOS update. I did not do that.
Right.
Because I do know the reason that I'm currently not using Linux on it is not fixed. I do know that for a fact. But I went with GNOME. I don't like GNOME. I've always said it was a tablet interface.
It is.
So I'm using GNOME. It is a tablet interface. Yeah. Also, I hadn't realized until I opened up Discord and did screen sharing that I was actually using Wayland by default, which you have to use if you want to use any of these things, as it turns out. You can run Xorg on it, but you're not getting touch working properly, and you're not getting screen rotation. So just fucking use Wayland if you are going to use Linux. It's not as bad as it used to be, as it turns out.
It couldn't be as bad as it used to be.
Yeah, but yeah, I was very surprised initially. Actually, you know, everything worked.
So why are you back on Linux then? Why are you back on Windows then, Wink?
Pen worked. The touch works. I was actually surprised with GNOME as a touch interface thing. It's quite good. It's just got a little. You can swipe up from the bottom to get a virtual keyboard. I actually used it as a tablet without a keyboard attached for a good while. I think I spent about 4 days on Linux and about 4 on Windows by accident. So, you know, well, 3 in a bit, you know. But the sleep on Linux doesn't work.
That's a problem for a tablet device.
It didn't bother me too much. It does. It kind of works. It seems temperamental, for a start. The Linux noticeably does get a bit hotter than Windows.
Mm-hmm.
However, I don't know if that's a firmware thing that was fixed after the fact. That's like my one thing I can almost definitely put down to the firmware, because as far as my looking into it has gone, nothing has access to those fans, only the BIOS. Like, if you load up sensors on Windows or Linux, you can't see those fans. So I'm almost certain that, and like it did not get extremely hot. It got up to like 60 when I was doing my tests. I had GeForce Now open and YouTube running and Discord and whatever, right? Actually, that too as well, GeForce Now and YouTube specifically, had a weird CPU scaling thing where it would just be at like 400 megahertz and take a few seconds before it boot up, so shit would like lag for a bit.
Does that happen in Windows?
It's not to the extent that was happening on Linux.
Right, okay. Because the scalar gear shift is one of the things that's wrong with my XPS, and that's a 12. That's a very similar processor.
Yes, I will. Now that might have been something that was tweaked in the BIOS update as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I used the Surface command line program to change it to performance, which, you know, you're not going to run that when it's in tablet mode. I had it plugged into charging to use that because I ran it without the charger. It does kill the battery running it on high power mode, but like that doesn't happen in that situation. But again, it's probably a BIOS thing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so it is noticeably cooler and quicker on Windows, but that might be the BIOS thing. It's almost certainly the BIOS thing. However, the sleep thing, if you close the cover or you just leave it for a bit and it goes to sleep, if it turns back on at all, so either you press the power button and nothing happens and you have to force it off and turn it back on, or you do, it takes a bit, like 20 seconds, and then it'll kick back on, and then the fans will go until you turn it off.
That was a really good impression of a fan, by the way. I like that.
Thank you. Yeah, and that's scary, that is.
Does that feel like the hardware's broken kind of scary, right?
Yeah, yeah. That is one of the reasons I did go to Windows to see if this was a hardware issue. Again, I should have just started with Windows. But
so
this was me being excited.
Are you planning on keeping Windows on it until Linux is closer to being done on it? Is that the plan?
I will say I am going to buy another hard drive so I can test this on a regular basis. On the back of the surface underneath the stand, which, by the way, really good fucking stand. It's like the whole back of it just lifts up, like the bottom, like, I don't know, 30% of it is like just, yeah, like that. But it's like a really stiff hinge. It's like it's very sturdy. You pull that up, and underneath there, there's a little dimple you can see. And if you push that down, it'll pop up. It's a magnetized plate, and you can just, the hard drive's just there. It's really easy to get at.
Yeah, the hard drive in my Mac is not as easy to get at.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Which, speaking of magnets, this thing is covered in magnets.
I know.
Scary.
We was talking about that the other day. Like, yeah, there was a point in time where you was afraid to get a magnetic screwdriver within 50 feet of your computer. Now, look at my iPad. Like, this is an iPad, and the magnet's just right there, just on the back. And also, this back cover literally attaches by magnets. Literally, just mad. Just the technology's come a long way.
Well, I mean, we're also not using spinning hard drives on these things, which was the biggest issue.
I mean, that was the biggest issue, but still, it just feels weird. As an old nerd, it feels really weird.
No, it does. It feels fucking weird.
Yeah.
But because it's got... also, the keyboard case, just kind of... The magnets on that are fucking powerful. It snaps on. If it's like, oh, did I break it kind of thing.
my iPad case has got a magnet keyboard, right? And when I feel like I'm taking it off, I feel like I'm tearing it every time. I feel like I'm gonna snap it or something every time.
Actually, that is a weird thing, right? So on Linux and Windows, and I have found other people saying this as well, sometimes when you turn it on, you have to take off the case and put it back on. It's very random. Or it won't pick up the keyboard, and it's a strange one, and nobody can seem to figure out why it happens. But
that's a BIOS thing, right? Yeah,
it's very intermediate. It's like it happened every time on Linux. It's happened to me once so far on Windows. It's
so
a strange one.
Can you take your keyboard and just fold it back behind the screen if you want to hold it in your hand?
I don't know.
Because it
never occurred to me to try it.
For instance, with my keyboard here, I can take it and put it behind the iPad and just use it. So the keys are on the back, yeah, but they turn off when you go the back.
I don't know. Let me see.
Yes.
Yeah, yes,
okay.
I can.
Do the keyboards work when it's folded back, or does it have a gravity sensor?
I assume it has a gravity sensor. I don't know. I didn't try this. I'm not going to turn it on now.
Yeah, not going to turn it on now. That's fair. So
actually, just quickly, I will go back to the hardware for a bit.
Okay.
Because I forgot some shit. I have thingy. All right. It comes with a proprietary charger, which is this very skinny thing that magnetically clips to the side. It does still charge with USB-C.
Right, so you can just not use that charger.
You can just not use it, but it's really nice. When I'm using it at my desk for drawing and shit, it's really slim and like it's just nice to have.
Yeah. So I've got my Mac came with a MagSafe charger, which I've not actually plugged in yet because I've got a dock. So I'm just like I've got this brick and this charger I've never plugged in. So I'm not quite sure if that's ever going to get plugged in, if I'm totally honest.
Yeah, I mean, they probably could have gotten a similar feel with, like, a right-angled USB-C. But both work. It
the
doesn't
benefit,
really bother me that
the benefit
much.
Of the mag charger here is it's the charger I should use in bed because I can't snap anything with it. It'll just, like, pop off.
The same is true of this because the actual bit that's charging doesn't. It's like it's really small and flat, so I assume it just pop out as well.
Yeah,
I assume they stole that idea from Apple. So yeah.
Most people steal their ideas from Apple, to be honest.
Apple
invented the pencil, and then everyone else was like, "We'll call it a pen."
Do you remember, like, 3 years before the iPad existed, Microsoft went,
Yeah, I
"Oh, look,
do.
we've invented
Yeah,
this tablet,"
but the
and
problem is they put Windows 3, like Windows 95 on it or something, and it's like not really the operating system for that.
No, it's not.
But Windows 11 is good for touch, right? Windows 11 is a good touch UI, right? So it's a good. It's oddly like better than you expect.
It's quite good. Oh, actually, speaking of pens, and actually the keyboard as well. The keyboard has a little slot for the pen, and if you're not using the pen, you can just kind of pop up like this small section of the keyboard, like that magnetic tape
And that
attaches. So
lifts up the
it's
back of the
hidden.
keyboard as well, right?
Yeah,
So,
it's like hidden, and it lifts up the back of the keyboard. When it does that, there is a little dip in the middle of the keyboard when you're typing. It's not terrible, but it's noticeable. The keyboard is fine. It's what you'd expect from this kind of keyboard. It is not my mechanical keyboard, but it is acceptable. However, it's very strange swapping between the two constantly.
Yeah, I've said this to you in the past, right?
Yeah,
Like,
no, you have, and I didn't really
you can't
appreciate
grasp it
that
until you try
until,
it, right?
yeah,
Yeah,
because it's like,
because when you're on a laptop, you've got these like you're almost tickling it, right? And then when you've got a mechanical, it changes your posture. So instead of tickling it, you kind of like clawing it a bit more and pushing down on the keys. Either
I mean,
both are great, but when you're going from one to the other, you start using the wrong type of hand gestures on the wrong keyboard, and that causes typos to the point where I don't bother mechanical keyboards anymore. Well, the keyboard I use is
I don't think I'll go that far, but
yeah, the
like,
keyboard I use is
yeah.
just one of these. It's just an MX Master keyboard, which is sorry, an MX Keys, which is
Yeah, I have the mechanical version, but
probably the
yeah.
best keyboard ever made, to be honest. It's
Oh,
freaking great.
actually, also something I couldn't get working on Linux was Bluetooth. Strange.
Isn't the pen Bluetooth?
Yeah, that's what bothers me.
There
To my knowledge, the pen is Bluetooth, but it was automatically connected, and I can't figure out how, because the Bluetooth was on, but it would not find any
It
device for me. I
probably
don't know
connects
why.
via the case. The case is probably also a connectivity device, right?
Oh no, I get that,
Yeah.
but the fact that the Bluetooth wouldn't pick up anything else, it's strange to me.
Yeah.
But whatever. I did was probably something stupid. I did look it up, and I think that there is like a different mode you can set Bluetooth to. So I don't know. I didn't. Yeah,
It
whatever.
worked for what you wanted, so it didn't care, right?
So anyway, I did, which I'm planning on writing up a more in-depth blog about this crap anyway. But yeah, so I did go to after that fan thing happened a couple of times, I was like, right, I'm just going to install Linux or Windows. Oh, actually, before I do, I missed that thing. When I was on Linux, the touch works, the pen works. However, there's this little calibration tool in there as well that I've also linked, which should be installed anyway. You can run this, and you just do some gestures and shit, and then you stop it, and it'll create three files for you, and you can pick one. I just picked the first one, and then restart your gesture shit after you copy it to the place it tells you to. Basically, it's just measuring your hand size to make the gestures work better, and improved a lot after I did that. But yeah, no, it's a neat little tool. It's nice. It works. When I first went to install Windows, I did just download an ISO, stick it on USB, and plug it in. And don't do that. The keyboard won't work. Touch doesn't work. Nothing works. You can't do anything. I
You need
presume if
like,
I had
wait.
gone, if
So you need like a version of Windows for the Surface specifically?
I'm right. I assume if I had gone and grabbed, I mean, I probably could have plugged my keyboard in via USB-C and gone through it that way, but I was like, this doesn't seem right. There has to be a better way of doing this. So after, there's like five different pages on Microsoft. I found the one you want. You need to go to a different version of somewhere else you have Windows, stick in a USB, create a recovery drive, uncheck the box that says back up your files. And in a very strange un-Windows way, after you have this drive, you click the download link they have here, download a recovery image for your Surface, which you need to sign into Microsoft to get for reasons I don't understand, which will give you a zip. You then go to the USB you just created and unzip that into that. I don't know why there's not an option in the recovery drive thing to just go, here's a zip, put it in there while it's being made. Whatever. After that, you stick it in your Surface. Here it is. Then you go to the recovery mode, which is hold volume down and press the power button. That will load the drive, and you will have what you've seen originally when you on a fresh Surface, basically. Well, actually, you won't. You'll have a couple of options. You go to recover from a drive, and then you just click remove my files and click recover, and then you'll be right back where you were. It actually was really, really quick. So it basically just nuked the drive and just put Windows back on in new install mode. Strange process, though. I would expect something a bit more straightforward on, a consumer device, but whatever.
Yeah, I have no idea how to reload macOS if I need to. So, who
you
knows?
Send it back to Apple and they'll charge you £500 for it.
No, I have Apple Care. It'll be fine.
Yeah. Anyway, you do that, and then you have the working Windows 11 install that works with your touch and your keyboard.
So that is a bit weird.
It's strange because it is a different interface than the regular one, even though it's the same operating system. But whatever. Windows still doesn't install updates
you install Windows and then you do Windows Update and it basically is a whole fucking new install.
Yep. Okay, I will say I know this because I've done it in a virtual machine first beforehand. It couldn't have done so on my Surface because I wasn't connected to the internet. But I do know that still does that. But it still restarts like 4 times, and then after you log in and you do Windows Update, it wants to restart another 4 times. So you're still Microsoft, ain't you? During the install, though, I did find out if you press Shift F10, you can get a command prompt, and you can type OOBE/bypass RNO or NRO, and then you press Enter, and it'll restart, and then you can create an offline user account. So I did that. So I don't have a Microsoft account linked to my Surface. Which, if you don't have a Microsoft account linked to your Surface, you don't get all those pre-installed crap.
Yeah, but I wonder if you did sign into a Microsoft account, would you just get all that crap? Would it just magically appear? It'd be fun.
Probably. So for the Surface, there does seem to be some defaults set up because, it knows you're on a Surface. So when you open up a program, the taskbar is gone. You can swipe up to get it back. If you don't have the keyboard attached, you can bring up a virtual keyboard. What else? Yeah, you have all those touch gestures, which are quite nice, actually. The 3-finger and 4-finger gestures. It's quite nice. You do get this little... If you move your finger around, there's like this little trail that follows you.
Oh, that's nice.
I don't know why, but it's like, there you go. You got like a little comma trail. There is a Surface app which you can open up, and that will let you just manage the Surface and the keyboard and the pen. You can set like pen pressure and stuff from the Surface app.
What on the website for the Surface, you've got the Surface Pro 9 and the Surface Pro 9 with 5G, but they're different machines. It's not just the Surface with 5G, because the Surface Pro 9's got an Intel chip.
The Surface with 5G is the ARM one.
Why? How are they not telling you that? Because it looks like a better machine. Then you look at the spec and you're like, hold on a minute. No, it's not.
Okay. To quickly go back to the hardware, I did look at that. Number one, if you want to put Linux on this, do not buy the ARM one. It is not supported at all with the Surface kernel.
Mm-hmm.
The i7 one, also probably don't bother with, because of everything I've seen, people say the performance gain is absolutely minimal because it just throttles itself to save heat.
Yep.
Like you'll get like 30 seconds good i7 performance before it'll just kill itself down to an i5 anyway. Don't bother.
Yes,
I don't know why they sell it.
I think it's one of those, because again, my XPS problems is the i5 performs better because the i7 throttles up, gets hot, and then under throttles below the i5 performance.
Just buy the i5 if you want this. Also, the ARM seems fine if you're running Windows. I don't know. I would like to have an ARM device. You get like an extra, allegedly 4 or 5 hours of battery on it, but it's like I've realized who makes Snapdragon? Is it Qualcomm?
Qualcomm, yeah.
Yeah, so they've partnered with them, so it's not like it's not like Microsoft are making their own. There is a company that knows what they're doing behind them, but it's still first gen.
It's like a beta testing, right? I'm not quite sure what the benefit is to having, because the Surface Pro 9, it doesn't even tell you how much RAM it's got. They're telling me nothing about it. They're making me not want to buy it. If I was looking at the 2, I wouldn't even consider that, because it doesn't have Thunderbolt. It doesn't tell me how much RAM it comes with. It's like they're not telling me anything I understand here. They're just going on more battery life, which is not really the point.
Yeah, I do think from person who just wants a laptop, that's not.
Yeah, like
not
Apple,
great.
Like Apple Silicon was like rolled out as a whole thing, right? So like you kind of knew what you was getting into. Whereas with ARM, with Windows ARM, I'm like, does things even work on it? Like, I wouldn't even know where to start.
Okay, so Windows does have the translation thing for running x86 programs. But I have watched some videos of people using that one. Not that I was ever going to buy it, but I was curious.
Yeah, interested.
Weirdly, several companies have gone out of their way to prevent their programs running on it, including Adobe.
Too glitchy.
Well, allegedly, Adobe is making an ARM version of their programs for Windows, and they don't want people to have
real
marketing talk. They don't want people to have a shit experience, so they can go, here's the actual ARM version, it's probably better. That seems to be that. But I mean, it seems weird that they're even able to stop you from doing that. But whatever, if you want to, you should just be able to say, "I understand it's going to be shit. I still want to try it." Right?
Yeah, yeah. And Windows would usually let you do that.
Yeah, there is. Yeah, I mean, it seems to just be built into the Adobe installer. I can't remember. There was another company that did it as well. Probably for similar reasons, but I fucked around with settings. I unchecked all the track me buttons. I haven't gone full nuclear and installed any of those third party things.
And then you have an update and all the ticks come back.
Probably. I mean, I don't have a Microsoft account linked to it, so it's probably not as bad. But as a touch interface, Windows 11 is pretty good.
It's fine. It's pretty good. Yeah,
It's pretty good.
I didn't use it as a tablet, but I had a touch screen on my XPS. I found it to be fine. Yeah, pretty good. Pretty reasonable.
It's fine. I mean, I haven't used Windows 11 much outside of a virtual machine, and even at that, not very much. For a very specific use case I have. So I haven't really explored very much, but I know there is definitely some Surface specific defaults.
So one of the things that's interesting is to right click, you just hold down for a second and it just acts as a right click, which is exactly what you would expect it to do, which is why it's kind of smart.
Actually, you've reminded me, I could not get right click working on Linux on GNOME.
Okay.
Didn't work. Strange.
Interesting.
You could do the hold down thing to get right, but I mean, well, it seemed to depend on the program, which baffled me, right? It was weird. Also, Firefox didn't have gestures enabled by default. You had to set an environment variable, whereas when I installed it on Windows, everything worked fine by default. Strange one. And another one that's weird was Krita, which I use for drawing, worked perfectly fine by default on Linux. On Windows, it did not have pen pressure. So what you have to do to fix that is you go to settings, you go to configure Krita, you go to tablet settings. Is that God damn, where is it? I've lost it. I've set this and then lost it. Maybe it's not on the Linux version. I think it's under tablet settings. But basically, there's an option somewhere. I forget now. I should have wrote it down because I don't have my Surface open. It might only be on the Windows version. But you change it from. You look for Windows Ink. You have to set it to Windows Ink mode. And then close it and open it again. It doesn't tell you need to
So,
close it and open again. Yeah, so Windows Ink is the built-in shit in Windows. So basically, after you set it to Windows Ink mode and close it and open again, pen pressure works. And the gestures work. Everything works fine in it. I did. I do have. I am messing with setups. Krita does have a touch dock, which makes it's just this big dock has a bunch of touch buttons on it, and it works really well with touch screen.
that's good.
On both of them. So yeah, and you can just yeah. I'm still fucking with the exact layout I want on it, but yeah. Pen is really nice. There are actually when I went first looking for just random videos on the Surface. There's a surprising amount of artist videos. So if you want to get this for art, it does seem. I mean, I just fucking I'm not an artist, but maybe one day. But the general real artist's impression seems to be pretty good. You can watch many a real artist draw on it, and it's real nice. The pen is you can flip it around to get an eraser. It's got
That's
a right
cute.
click button on the side. It's got a clicky button on top, which is shit on Windows, okay? You can click it once, you can click it twice, or you can hold it for three different shortcuts, which you can configure in Windows, but you cannot configure to just be a button. It has to be opening an app, bringing up the pen menu, or some other bollocks. It's shit. There are third-party programs to set it to
That's
something else.
typical Microsoft. Well, we
I
get this
mean, it's
really cool
really
idea, then
weird.
do nothing useful with it.
Yeah, it's really weird because they've clearly thought of that. Because when you go into the pen settings, there's a checkbox to allow third-party applications to rebind that. So it's like, yeah, okay. Strange. Strange one, Microsoft. Okay. Very strange.
Mean, that's Microsoft. They do weird shit like that.
Why is. Sorry, I can't see what Pixel Heresy's last comment is because YouTube is cutting it off for me.
Interesting. Pixel Heresy says, I'll only type in the built-in keyboard when on a couch or bed or whatever. I have no other option, usually, as opposed to I keep a mechanical keyboard in the dining room if I want to do writing on my laptop.
I'm invisible, am I? I'm invisible.
No, you're
No,
right
I'm
on my
not.
end.
Oh, it might have been when when I changed over to Krita, I went invisible. Yeah, sorry, I went onto a different desktop.
Shock, I didn't notice.
It's
I
fine.
didn't
I am a ghost.
I like I like
Yeah, where
message
was I?
redacted.
Yep. Yeah, so drawing on it is really nice. One thing Windows does have that is not on Linux for the pen though is, and it doesn't work in Krita, because I mean as far as I know, and I only noticed it because when you go into the pen thing, they've got like this test canvas for when you're messing with the pressure and stuff, so you don't have to keep changing
Okay.
to a different program. It has like a tiny vibration motor in it
Oh, that's cute.
to make it feel like you're. Have some texture to it. It's fine. I take it or leave it. I don't know. It doesn't. I'm not sure it adds much
That's gonna
to
destroy the battery, surely.
Probably. Yeah, the pen does need battery, but I never think about it
Oh, it just goes and charges when
because
it's in the tray, right?
it just charges when it's in the case. It's like,
Yeah.
yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, can we talk about that? If you don't get this case. This case is available in three different versions. There's the regular one that doesn't have a battery slot. There's the one I got, and there's one with a fingerprint reader. The Slim Pen 2 Charger.
Have you got a link
is
to it?
yeah, I was just grabbing it for you there. I don't know what Microsoft was thinking with this. The pen does not have any kind of port. So you have to get this little pen dock that you plug your USB into. That they charge you 30 quid for.
There's no real picture, there's no good picture either. Basically, yeah, it's like a pen like WoW with a USB cord sticking out of it, right?
Yep. And it's like, it's like, why?
Let's see if I can find it.
Yeah, I was trying to find one because there's not. I assume basically no one's bought this fucking thing is the problem. Because it is. Yeah.
There we go.
Terrible.
So basically, you put the pen in there, and then it yeah, it's a shitty idea. Okay, there's someone using it.
Yeah,
it's not a shitty idea as my Apple Pencil having to be stuck in the bottom of my phone to charge.
Yeah. Also, the fact that the Apple Pen is magnetic and you have to get a case for your pen to go on your case to stick it to your case.
Yeah, so like, because the problem with this case, the keyboard's supposed to snugly fit at the back when I fold it over. And because the pen doesn't charge, yeah, I don't know what Apple was thinking. So I just bought a thing off Amazon, which just glued to the case, and it just puts a pen there, which is fine. Because
there's
let's be honest, I'd lose that in no time.
There's a decent picture.
Oh, that's a good picture. Here, good picture that.
Atrocious idea. But again, I don't think about it because I just got the case. I will never think about this. It's like a square pen. It's not round.
But
it's rounded.
Pen.
Yeah. Sure. It's really comfortable. It's really nice to use. I really like this pen. I wasn't really sure what I was going to think about it because my other pen is round and I quite like that and it's a Wacom one. It's really nice. Actually, speaking of my Wacom, because my Wacom remote is not Bluetooth, I can't use it with my Surface. Unless I want to have an adapter sticking out of it at all times.
Because you have that really nice button thing, right?
I do have my remote. I do use my remote for other things. I have an OBS profile I have set up for when I record like game shit and stuff. So I do use it for other things on my computer. So it's fine. I'm not upset about that. Also, when you have a touchscreen, which my other pen is just a pad tablet, it's not a screen. I think it greatly minimizes the need for that kind of thing because you can just tap on shit. It's fine.
Yeah. No, I think that's fair.
So, I've actually been it's a very different experience going from pad to screen display. But I like it a lot. It's very good.
Yeah, it's surprisingly relaxing to sketch and just know that if you cock up, you can just press back. There's an Amazon product I've just seen where you can buy a case for the pen hold charger. That's remarkable. Let me copy that image for you. I don't know if you can see it on there.
This would be good.
This is like a case for the charger. This is remarkable. There you go. I've just got my screen now.
Wow. That is...
yeah, that's some...
Why?
I don't know. That's some of the right...
That sure is something.
That is some of...
But yeah. Basically... Yeah, fucking fan issues aside, Linux is fine on it. I could continue using Windows for now. I'm going to buy another hard drive and I will periodically check Windows because it is quite easy to swap out those hard drives. It's literally just pop up the magnetic plate and take out one screw.
Yeah.
So
you're going to buy a bigger hard drive for it? You're going to get a bigger hard drive for it?
I don't really care.
Mm.
Because of... Sorry, my main use case of this is basically I use it for drawing, and I'm doing some checking RSS, doing a bit of programming, nothing too heavy, realistically. Maybe some GeForce Now, because I'm not installing Steam on that thing. It's pointless. It's got Intel Xi or Z or whatever you graphics, so what are you going to be playing on it? GeForce Now. I will probably do GeForce Now. And since it's Windows, I'll be able to do, hardware accelerated one. So,
That's
see what
true.
difference that is.
It does
I
make
haven't
quite
actually
a difference. It does harder
I haven't
accelerated,
actually
yeah.
put GeForce Now on my Windows one, but yeah, no, it's quite nice. I did find well, because I have my Nook as well, so a lot of my shit's just agnostic. It's just on the server. But I did find this even though I have the Navigator web interface, it's a bit laggy on touch. So I went looking for a little program, and
Oh, like a Navidrome UI.
well, it's
Perhaps.
Subsonic, but I
Oh,
mean
it's
it works with
Subsonic, yeah.
Navidrome, yeah, the Subsonic API thing, and this one works quite nicely with it.
That's nice. That's
It's
nice.
got some decent sized buttons, and it's written in Go.
Well, that's the main thing.
I swear I don't go looking for Go programs, but they just keep popping up.
Right. What I would say, though, is we're now at an hour 26, and we've got a
Yeah,
few more
we have
topics to
other
cover.
shit, but
Well,
I'm just gonna leave them. We'll leave them for next time.
are you leaving next time? You don't want to, can we just talk about Scott Pilgrim though before we go then? Can we talk about Scott Pilgrim before we go?
Oh right, yeah. I
Because
mean,
we
I mean,
watched.
to be honest, those topics were there before we both bought devices, so.
Yeah, maybe they've gone cold now. Who knows? Scott Pilgrim Takes Off is the new Netflix Scott Pilgrim series. With it's got the voiceovers from the cast, from the actual cast of the
From the
film in there,
movie, yeah.
and it's got the director from the movie and the comic book writers involved. Overall, it's as close to a Scott Pilgrim sequel as we ever like to get. I enjoyed it. It was all right.
I was yeah right I was going to be I d I, yeah I didn't really know how to talk about this, because I mean it is new. I don't know.
Yeah, no spoilers. I'm not going to give any plot spoilers and stuff, but
Well, you did just call it a sequel, which it's not.
well,
It is not
I
actually a
mean,
sequel, but
it's
whatever.
no. I said it was as close to a sequel to Scott Pilgrim as we're going to get, is what I said,
Okay,
which I
fair
think
enough.
that's a fair comment. It is
Yeah,
different.
we
It's not
watched it
probably not what you
with our
expect, is the main thing.
we watched it with our two other friends. We really liked it. Hex was slightly less
I
about it.
mean, the problem. I'm hard to impress anyway, right, with this sort of stuff. But like, I enjoyed it a great deal. But if someone said it's never, we're not getting any more, I'd be going, okay, like fine. I've already got Scott Pilgrim. I've already got the Scott Pilgrim comic. This didn't add anything to my Scott Pilgrim experience. I still want my OG Scott Pilgrim experience. This didn't transcend it. It didn't improve upon Scott Pilgrim. It just added this weird other thing.
I have watched the movie and not read the comic,
It
but
felt
I.
like a Scott Pilgrim like what if story is what it felt like to me. And it didn't, yeah. I enjoyed it, but it's fine. Yeah.
I. It definitely. Well, for me, who's only watched the movie, I don't know how. If this has comic callbacks and shit in it.
Not
I
really.
assume it has a few. No?
Well, I mean, nothing
But whatever.
plot-wise. It's got the odd thing like the robot is in the comics, is in the comic. There's a bigger play for the Takanaki twins and stuff is in the comic. But yeah, it's about it.
I really liked it. I liked the more fleshed out characters that I had, and a couple of changes from the movie. Well, I don't. Yeah, there's a few changes from the movie that they're slight, but I quite liked. The biggest one being how the Roxy relationship is presented,
Yeah.
but which is much better in this. It's really nicely animated, except for there's some very obviously rotoscope scenes with one particular character, which I don't really like, but some people really do. So that's personal taste, I guess. But they still look nice, but I just don't like rotoscoping.
Yeah, I for me, yeah. And you know what? I'm not going to say this because it would be spoilery, but I have some thoughts. But yeah, overall, I don't want to give anyone spoilers.
Overall, very nice music.
Everybody else really enjoyed it. I just felt it was fine. I enjoyed it while I was watching it, but when it was over, I was like, okay, I'll get on my day. I didn't give it a second thought once it was over. It didn't rattle around my head. Like, Scott Pilgrim, the movie, has been basically rattling around my head for a decade, right? And this one was instantly forgettable. I just moved on with my day. So, yeah, I don't know what that means. Take of it what you will, but that's how I felt about it. So, there.
I really liked it. Right, anyway. That's enough.
Thanks for watching.
It's quite long.
I've been Mac DSL, and that's Windows Wing. Windows. That's good.
It's right there, Hex. Yeah. Fuck's sake.
No. Hex does some LeMac.
Given the option, if they were both equal, I would totally be still running Linux. But given that it's a secondary device and my use case, I don't really give a shit that much.
I hope the audience cancel you. That'll be they're gonna cancel you. They were like,
"That word doesn't mean
anything.
He's
a traitor."
So, I like how the audience is Middle England peasants.
They are your Middle English peasants. And they do
you just
like
sound like those people from the Fable games.
Yeah, that's because they're all from Yorkshire. Thank you for watching. I've been XBSL DSL. That's been where you can get me on hexdsl.com, which has been on your screen the entire time this stream has gone on. If you would like more Mac updates, do ask me anything. I'm happy to make videos about anything you are interested in. If you are interested, there's going to be a couple of me lamenting and mulling over some things about Mac over the next couple of days. But other than that, have a glorious afternoon and enjoy your Wintermas. We'll be back probably in about a week. That about right, Wing?
Yay.
You can get Wing over at feather.onl. Feather as in the things, birdhalf.onl. Yeah. I assume you're going to write about it.
I will.
Ban Wing.
I've started a thingy. Yeah, we'll.
Goodbye, everybody. Bye. Bum, bum, bum.